Good morning. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoff, and you're listening to Dental MD Radio Show. And I am a holistic dentist, holistic and natural, which don't always mean the same thing. And there are a lot of holistic ways of doing things with mainstream solutions. I don't know if you've, as a patient, if you personally have run into that. But holistic just means taking into account other parts of the body that could be affected by what you do and don't do as a practitioner. And natural means that there's actually no legal definition for the word natural, but as far as the way I use it when I say natural dentist, is that I'm leaving as much natural body, natural tooth structure, and natural function as I can when I'm fixing, restoring, repairing teeth and helping gums heal. So natural also means that when we're finished, everything looks as natural as possible, and that we're using materials that are as close to your natural body characteristics as a physical body as we can. That means materials that don't interfere chemically with you, don't have enzyme disruptors like BPA, don't have metals that would. Metals can do a lot of different things. One of the things metals can do is create an electric current in your mouth that you can't feel, but which is many magnitudes more electricity than what you naturally have in your mouth without metal and what your nervous system runs on. And the third thing that metals can do is they can off-gas or vaporize right in your mouth and into your body. The one that I'm referring to that is known for this is mercury. And even though the American Dental Association and dentists that believe the American Dental Association on this particular point will deny that enough mercury vaporizes out of the fillings to cause any problems, the scientific organizations around the planet have pretty unanimously declared that there is no safe level. So even if it's just a tiny little bit, the ADA can claim all they want that that tiny little bit won't hurt you. But in fact, there is no safe level, which means even a little bit is more than you ought to be exposed to. So metals can be a problem. People can be allergic to metals. About 12% of the population is allergic to gold. And almost 90% have some level of allergic reaction to nickel. And these two materials are very common in dental metals. So it does, you know, as a patient for you, it does matter for you to have some idea of these things. And even if you don't remember everything that I'm saying, when you're sitting in the dental chair or in the treatment presentation room or whatever your dentist has for you, where they're going over what your needs are and what their solutions are, when they start to talk about treatments that they're proposing, and you've been listening to my show, my hope is that even if you don't remember consciously everything I'm saying, things that the dentist is telling you will trigger you to, for it to occur to you to ask certain questions. Like, oh, wait a minute, is that crown going to have metal underneath it? And if it does, what metals are in that? Because I have reacted to cheap jewelry, and if there are any metals like nickel, you know, included in that alloy that the crown will have, you know, can you use something different? Or, you know, it'll occur to you to ask these things. And if you've never thought of these things and never heard about these things, you're just going to assume that dentist says you need a crown, okay. It's going to look nice, okay. And that's kind of the end of the conversation. And really, there's so much more information that you could get if you just knew what to ask. So today's show is going to be about actually conservative options. That means leaving more of you and your natural structures and not doing or being able to choose between less invasive and more invasive choices for treatments. So conservative dental treatment options, you know, you're not always going to be given the most conservative options. In dentistry, it is well known that the more tooth dust is produced, the more money is made. And it's a sad fact, but it's actually very important for dental offices to be able to remain independent. If I was forced to join in with a corporate dental structure, I wouldn't be able to offer the choices and the techniques and the safety protocols for, you know, when we are removing any old metals that you might be allergic to or that might be dangerous to breathe or swallow, because those measures are not, they're not recommended by the American Dental Association. They cost extra money. They take extra time. And if I worked for a corporation, I wouldn't be allowed to do those things. Whereas in a private office, I can choose to do things differently for you. But I also have to, because I can't do this any other way. I have to offer the most conservative treatments because that's what is the right thing to do for me as a practitioner. But most practitioners, I'm sure there are others like me somewhere, but most practitioners who are running a small business will be concerned about the bottom line. They're concerned about their profit margin. They're concerned about paying their staff bonuses. They're concerned about being successful and being able to retire and being able to send their kids to college and all of those things and pay their mortgage. And a small business owner has a lot of pressures to earn money and to grow their business. And that's fine, but there is a bit of a conflict of interest between that need and the need for any practitioner to offer you all of your treatment options and to do as, it's the do no harm thing. It's to always work with the least invasive and least toxic materials. That is not the way to make the most money, usually. So in order to make ends meet, sometimes the fees have to be higher and the insurance would really rather limit what dentists are able to charge. So there are a lot of forces that are making the fees be lower, but in order to make more money, dentists will try to do more procedures in less time. And that means, and to do the most invasive procedures as quickly as possible in order to be as efficient as possible and make the most money you can with the lower fees that the insurance will, you know, be willing to cover. So in addition to all of these other things that I've talked about, I also have chosen to be out of network from the insurance so that I don't have to charge dentists make agreements with the insurance and then they get listed as preferred providers. All that means is that they agreed to discount their fees. That's what that means. Preferred means their fees are in line with what the insurance company thinks they should be charging. Meanwhile, all of our expenses as small business owners go up. So in order to charge what I need to, in order to do the most conservative treatments and offer the least invasive treatments and the most biocompatible and least toxic options for materials, which always seem to cost more, I have chosen to be out of network so that I can set my fees appropriately so that I can run the business. And there is definitely a ceiling on how much I can charge for stuff, and that's fine. I don't think I've raised most of my fees in 5 years just because it gets too expensive for people, and then they can't go ahead with treatments. So I've kept the fees as low as I can while shouldering extra expenses and increasing expenses for the office. But as long as there are enough people choosing holistic and natural and conservative choices, then the schedule fills up and everything works and there's enough to pay the bills and the staff and all of that stuff. So I will continue to do the dentistry this way as long as I can continue to keep my doors open, obviously, because I feel that this, for me, this is the only way that I can do this. And if it got to a point where I wasn't able to offer the most conservative treatments and the least toxic materials with which to do those treatments for you, then I would simply go and do something else for a living, because I'm not going to change the way I do things. I'm not going to try to talk people into more invasive treatments so that I can make more money. None of that is ever going to happen in my practice. So conservative treatments, that's what we're going to talk about today. What are your choices? And the most conservative treatment isn't necessarily the one you're going to choose, because it may not be the preferred thing for you. And I'm going to talk about that. I mean, but you have a right to know what those options are. Sometimes one of your options is do nothing. And that may not be a good option. Most people won't choose that, but it is one of your options. Never forget that. All right. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoff. You're listening to Dental MD. And if you want to ask questions or make an appointment, give us a call, 425-427-8899. And you can reach the front desk by email with your questions, appointments@naturaldentist.com. All right, I'll be right back after this break.
So how long has it been since you've been to the dentist?
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
I know, going to the dentist can be tough, but did you know that healthy teeth lead to a healthy body? I know what you're thinking. All dentists are alike. They lure you in for the free exam or, you know, complimentary cleaning. And before you know it, wham, huge dental bill. And did you even need all that work? Well, why not try a different approach? Natural Dental Health Associates in Issaquah specializes in taking care of you. Their easy, no gimmick, honest approach to dentistry will have you forgetting you're actually in a dentist's office. And the best thing is, they're all natural. Yep, no mercury, nickel, or other harmful chemicals are used. Click on your media player now and get started on the road to better dental health today. Or call 425-427-8899. Natural Dental Health Associates is a proud sponsor of the Dental MD Radio Show, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Alternative Talk, 1150, here to uplift your day.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dental MD. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoff. And today I'm talking about conservative dental treatment options. In that first segment, I talked about some of the pressures on dentists that make it difficult for them to promote more conservative treatments. And part of the problem in this profession is that as soon as a dentist contracts with insurance, so that they're in network and preferred, they have agreed to reduce their fees, which means they've got to do more in less time. They need to do more lucrative procedures. Everything is geared toward, profit and growing a business. Healthcare and business concerns have a natural conflict of interest between the two. However, if we did not have this system where I could run my business the way I want to, I would be forced into a system designed to reduce costs and standardize treatments. In other words, I would be forced to continue to use mercury-containing fillings, put fluoride on everybody's teeth, especially the young and the elderly, and I would be required to use the least expensive approved materials. And approved doesn't necessarily mean they're the least toxic. It just means that, you know, they're low enough toxicity to pass what I consider to be a very weak standard for human health. And so the answer is not consolidation in the dental industry and standardization necessarily. Some things need to be standard. Whether a filling is done correctly, that can be standard. Whether the margins are open and whether there's decay or not, that can be standard. But in their zeal to make as much profit as possible, many dental offices will recommend more invasive treatments, more treatment per sitting, so you get a lot more done in one sitting. And if that's difficult for you, then sedation is offered to help you to be sedated, tranquilized during your treatment so that they can do much more of your mouth in one sitting. That's far more efficient. And invasive surgical treatments are favored over less invasive, maybe options that are removable that you take out and clean it and put it back in and function with it just fine, just like you would wear glasses instead of getting eye surgery to change your vision and improve your vision. Some people don't want surgery on their eyes. They're happy wearing glasses. Fine. That's not a second-class treatment, wearing glasses instead of getting eye surgery. I suppose some people think it is, but the majority don't, and we shouldn't have any different opinion when it comes to dentistry. But the opinion, the prevailing opinion right now in dentistry is that if you had money, you would choose implants if you're missing a tooth. That's just the prevailing opinion. Therefore, if you don't choose an implant, you either don't have money or you're ignorant. Isn't that nice? So in order to help you make the right decision, which is the decision that the dentist would make if it were them missing a tooth, that's the misapplication of the golden rule. And, you know, in order to help you make that decision, they will tell you kind of negative things about your other options, if they even tell you about your other options. I had a patient come in the last few days who was missing a tooth, just a, you know, it was kind of a premolar size space, not a huge molar space. And the dentist was planning to put an implant in that spot, which is fine, but did not inform this patient that she could get a bridge, which is a bonded tooth, which is bonded to the two neighboring teeth and cemented in, and it's permanent. It stays in, and there's no surgery involved. But the neighboring teeth do need to be reduced a little bit so that the ceramic has a place to cement to. But they don't have to be drilled down to little stumps like many dentists do. And in order to talk patients out of that option, they will sometimes be told that their perfectly good neighboring teeth have to be drilled down to little stumps and maybe even wind up needing root canals in order to do a bridge. And that's, although that's common, that isn't necessarily the way it has to be done. It can be done very conservatively with little inlays or onlay units. And frequently the neighboring teeth already have fillings in them, which means the area where the filling already is doesn't need to be, that's not tooth reduction. Once the filling is removed, sometimes that's enough of a cement area and no further tooth reduction is required. And sometimes a little bit more is required to wrap it around a little bit for better anchoring on the neighboring teeth. But in any event, what this dentist did in order to preclude that as a choice was they placed a permanent crown on one of the neighboring teeth. So if this patient now decides they want a bridge, I would have to remove a recently placed permanent crown from one of the teeth. And it was done in order to dissuade the patient from making that choice because, oh, well, I just got a crown on that tooth. I don't want to have to drill that off. But in fact, if I drill that off, I'm only removing the crown material and I'm not going to be reducing the tooth further. It's the bridge will include a new crown on that tooth as part of the bridge. So it's not a terrible thing, but it's kind of a waste to have paid for a crown and then have it drilled off in order to get a bridge and have to replace that crown as part of the bridge. So that was just kind of, you know, like a tactic to steer the patient into an implant. And then the third choice that this patient had would be a removable tooth, which is, you know, these things just click into place. There's no reduction of the neighboring teeth required. The materials are very biocompatible, sort of like a little retainer, except it's got a tooth on it. And you just click it into place and it does a number of things for you. One is that it keeps the other teeth from drifting and shifting. Because when you have a space, the teeth behind the space tend to lean. They tend to tilt and lean over into that space. And then the bite changes and the height of the bite changes. That's not good. You do want to prevent that. And you can prevent it with a simple night guard or retainer to wear at night as a kind of a space maintainer. Or you could get a removable tooth that you wear whenever you are eating, or if it's a tooth in an area that shows, then you pop this thing in and it looks like you're not missing a tooth. There's usually some pink material gum tissue on it to make it look like you've got pretty gum tissue there too. And if it's done nicely, it can look very real and very perfect, like a little, like any prosthetic should. It should look like the original. And, you know, making these partials and even complete dentures, this is an art. This used to be an art before the days of implants. You could get gorgeous dentures and partials that really were just artistic, and the tooth looked exactly like the neighboring teeth, and it fit right in, and the fit was perfect. And in those days, a lot of times they had a metal framework. These days, you don't have to have a metal framework at all. You can have completely thin and flexible vinyl or plastic varieties that are high quality, and some of them do not off-gas, and so they're very good. And you could get a beautiful one. But these days, the denture section of the lab that makes things for dentists, they basically treat partials like a temporary thing. Like you're only going to have this partial because you're waiting until you can afford real treatment like an implant. And so they really treat partials like second-class treatment. And they don't do as good a job on them as, I mean, I've been practicing 30 years. I know what I'm talking about. I have seen the changes in the industry, and I've seen the changes in the quality and the beauty of replacement teeth for people. And it's really a shame. It's very difficult to get really a lab that makes really great-looking partials. It can still be done. You can still find labs that consider it an art and actually take the time to make these things beautiful. And they should, because choosing a partial denture that's sometimes the best option. When you do that, you don't have to drill the neighboring teeth. You can wear it comfortably. Now, if you did get a partial, which is less expensive and kind of less convenient because you do have to keep track of it, just like with glasses and things, you know, that you have to know where it is and keep it clean and you know, make sure it doesn't get bent and whatever. You have to take care of these things and know where they are and take it out and clean it and clean your teeth and put it back in, all of that. But after a little while of using that, a lot of people get used to it. They're fine. They love their partial. Other people don't like it. Oh, it's a nuisance, you know, or food. I don't like the way food feels around it or goes under it sometimes. And Anyway, if that's the case, at least you tried something conservative, and then you could choose a bridge or an implant, if that suits you, after trying something conservative. In a lot of offices, you don't even get offered that as an option. All right. You are listening to Dental MD. I'm Jessica Sapoff, Dr. Jessica Sapoff, and today I'm talking about conservative dental treatment options. And if you want to reach my office to make an appointment or to ask questions about this topic or any other topic, give us a call, 425-427-8899. And you can also reach us by email, appointments@naturaldentist.com. I'll be right back after this break.
So how long has it been since you've been to the dentist? Yeah, I'm talking to you. I know, going to the dentist can be tough. But did you know that healthy teeth lead to a healthy body? I know what you're thinking. All dentists are alike. They lure you in for the free exam or, you know, complimentary cleaning. And before you know it, wham, huge dental bill. And did you even need all that work? Well, why not try a different approach? Natural Dental Health Associates in Issaquah specializes in taking care of you. Their easy, no-gimmick, honest approach to dentistry will have you forgetting you're actually in a dentist's office. And the best thing is, they're all natural. Yep, no mercury, nickel, or other harmful chemicals are used. Click on your media player now and get started on the road to better dental health today. Or call 425-427-8899. Natural Dental Health Associates is a proud sponsor of the Dental MD Radio Show, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Don't let that herd mentality lead you off a cliff. We support thinking for yourself on Alternative Talk, 1150.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dental MD. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoff. Today I'm talking about conservative dental treatment options. And in this segment, I am going to talk about cavities. Is it a cavity that has decay, or is it a cavity that is clean and hard as a rock and not demineralized? And I'm also going to talk about, is it stains or is it decay? Because cariology, which is the study of decay means rot. This is the study of the breakdown, demineralization, and rot of teeth called cariology. Caries is the name of the disease. That is the singular. That is not plural. So you don't have one carie. You have one carious lesion. That is one cavity that is carious. So you know, sometimes there are indents in the teeth, like along the gum line after you've been clenching and grinding for 20 years. Those cavity means hole. It means indent. That's all it means. You can have an indent in a tooth that is as clean as a whistle, solid, no demineralization, no pain. Maybe food gets caught there. Maybe it's hard to clean, but it's not carious. If it's not carious, then what are the reasons to fix that? Well, if you are having trouble cleaning it because it's in a spot that the brush bristles can't reach very easily, or it is sensitive, which is usually because of the clenching and grinding and not because of the little notch in the tooth, or food is catching and it shows when you smile. Or it just shows when you smile and you don't like how it looks. Those are the reasons to restore or put a filling in one of these kinds of gum line indentations. Now, dentists will frequently not distinguish between indents and holes that don't have decay from indents and holes that do have decay. They will just say, it's a cavity, it's a cavity, it's a cavity. Needs a filling, needs a filling, needs a filling. And if you don't know the difference and you don't know what to ask, then you will end up with a lot of fillings. Filling, filling, filling. So that is a problem because you have the right to make that choice. If you don't have the disease of caries or tooth rot, then, and it's in an area that doesn't show and it doesn't bother you and you're able to keep it clean, why should you have to get a filling? You shouldn't. Somebody professional needs to monitor that and keep an eye on it and make sure it isn't getting worse or developing decay, because these lesions on the roots, yeah, they're not covered by enamel, which is harder. So they theoretically are more vulnerable to decay, but just because there's a little indent in the tooth at the root doesn't mean it's going to decay. There are lots of people who have a lot of these indents on the roots, and they don't have sensitivity. They don't have decay happening in those little indents. They're able to keep them clean. In that case, as long as the reason for those little indents is solved, like wear a night guard or maybe do some orthodontic treatment to change the way the forces hit that tooth when you bite and chew, if the teeth are not aligned properly and something is getting hit on an angle, and on that root where the tooth is being hit on an angle, you're getting a little indent because of forces on the tooth. These are called abfractions. Then, you know, as long as the reason why these things are forming is solved, then there's no reason to do fillings. Now, we were told in school, and I know there are dentists that still believe this, that these lesions are caused by brushing too hard. So that's unlikely, because somebody can have one of these lesions on a tooth, and then the tooth next to it doesn't have one, and then the next tooth over does have one. Tell me how somebody can brush every other tooth too hard. I really don't think that's what happens. And the tooth that doesn't have the little indent is hitting correctly, or it's a little bit out of occlusion, or for whatever reason, it's not under the same direction of force that the other two teeth are under. So that's one case where maybe you don't need a filling. Maybe you have a little indent in your tooth and you don't need a filling. Okay, so now let's talk about stains. Let's talk about stains. If a child's tooth or an adult tooth has a stain where the tooth maybe began to demineralize and then it remineralized because the diet got changed or the saliva quality improved. Saliva is supposed to be remineralizing your teeth 24/7. So you need to have enough saliva. You need to have high quality saliva. It has to have all the right nutrients, minerals, be the right pH, be the right viscosity, and be enough to get on all of your teeth regularly. So if your saliva quality is good, that probably means that your systemic health is okay, because saliva is a systemically monitored and altered substance, like your blood. When you have an issue like high stress or something else going on, your blood chemistry changes, and so does your saliva chemistry and the amount of saliva, just like your blood pressure can change. So if you had a situation where you were having demineralization, the teeth were getting etched, they were demineralizing, minerals were being lost from the surface, but the surface was still smooth and intact. It hadn't caved in and become a cavity. It wasn't a hole. It was just etched on the surface, and then the etching process stopped and got reversed, and the surface hardened back up, and it's still flat and cleanable, but it has taken on some stain. It's brown. It's darker. Or it's white and, you know, chalky looking, but solid and hard surface. Does that need to be filled? I don't think they always need to be filled. Sometimes if there are a lot of cavities, like actual carious lesions, and some deeply etched and vulnerable spots, maybe, you know, I mean, those are probably going to cave in if that's the direction that the other teeth are still going, that there's active breakdown and active carious process going on with other teeth in the mouth, then those etched areas are quite vulnerable. But in someone that hasn't had any decay for years, and they come in and you see some brown stains that are hard, solid. There hasn't been any decay in a while, and these areas have looked like that for a while. Should those be drilled out and filled? I think there are dentists that look at brown stains and say, it's decay, it needs a filling, and then they drill and drill and drill until the brown stain is gone, and they're like, oh, well, we're in the nerve, that decay was real deep, so we have to do a root canal now. So aggressive, you know, the more drilling that's done, the more root canals will be needed, because drilling is traumatic for the teeth. And if a dentist is busy drilling out something that is stained and they don't stop to check with an explorer and see whether it feels solid, and they're just drilling it away because it's darker than the surrounding tooth structure, you know, you're in the hands of a dentist that is not conservative. This is someone that is, you know, the more tooth dust we make, the more money we make. And doing, in my opinion, unnecessary tooth removal and tooth reduction. But this is very common. There are dentists that actually believe that if it's brown, then it's decay. And they don't actually understand cariology. They don't actually understand that a stain that's solid, that feels hard as a rock with the instruments, that you don't need to remove that. And if you're suspicious that that might be partially demineralized, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's actively decaying, but there are plenty of things that a dentist can get to put under the filling that will remineralize the inside deepest areas of that hole. And that's, I would rather do that. I'd rather get down to something that, you know, may still be stained, but I feel like I've gone deep enough and what's there feels solid to me. Then I will put a remineralizing medicine in first and then the filling. And that protects the nerve and you will be less likely to wind up with a root canal. Now, in most dental offices, if your tooth dies and you end up with a root canal, that's just part of the routine. That's, oh, well, sorry, some teeth end up needing root canals, like we said. That tooth might end up with a root canal because it was so deep, the decay, and just go make an appointment and we'll do a root canal, or here's a referral to an endodontic specialist, go get the root canal done and then come back, and then we'll replace the filling that we charged you for with a crown, which we will charge you for. And that is just routine, normal, average dentistry. That is how it goes in most dental offices. But you know, my philosophy is to do as little drilling as possible. So if something is stained, but it doesn't appear to be decay, if it's not soft or sticky, then I will use a remineralizing medicine on any stains and put in the fillings. And generally, these are good to go for years and years and years, and no root canals happen. No nerves die. Sometimes they do. That can happen because anytime you do any drilling, that is a risk. That's why I don't drill unless we absolutely have to. But in general, there will be fewer root canals when there is less drilling and less invasive treatment done. All right, you are listening to Dental MD. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoff. Today I'm talking about conservative dental treatment options. And if you have questions or you want to make an appointment, you can give us a call, 425-427-8899, or reach us by email, appointments@naturaldentist.com. I'll be right back after this break.
So how long has it been since you've been to the dentist? Yeah, I'm talking to you. I know, going to the dentist can be tough. But did you know that healthy teeth lead to a healthy body? I know what you're thinking. All dentists are alike. They lure you in for the free exam or, you know, complimentary cleaning. And before you know it, wham, huge dental bill. And did you even need all that work? Well, why not try a different approach? Natural Dental Health Associates in Issaquah specializes in taking care of you. Their easy, no gimmick, honest approach to dentistry will have you forgetting you're actually in a dentist's office. And the best thing is, they're all natural. Yep, no mercury, nickel, or other harmful chemicals are used. Click on your media player now and get started on the road to better dental health today. Or call 425-427-8899.
Natural Dental Health Associates is a proud sponsor of the Dental MD Radio Show, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Alternative Talk, 1150 on AM, 98.9 HD3 on HD, 1150KKNW.com on the web.
Welcome back. You're listening to Dental MD. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoff. Today I'm talking about conservative dental treatment options. And I want to talk about root canals and extractions because I have had a difference of opinion from time to time about whether a root canal is needed and whether a tooth needs to be extracted. So, root canals. So, a lot of dentists, and, you know, I was trained that way as well. It's the way we're trained. The dental curriculum in every dental school is the same. It's all approved and designed by the American Dental Association. And if a tooth seems like it might need a root canal, a lot of dentists will just go ahead and do the root canal. And unless you understand the controversies around root canal treatments and how the controversy is about whether the bacteria that continue to live in them can cause a problem for your body. Are they toxic? Are they, you know, blocking a meridian? Are they, technically they are a low grade chronic infection. So they're not acute. Once the root canal is done, the acute phase, if there was one, is quieted. The swelling goes away. The bone fills back in. The thing doesn't hurt. You can chew on it. It looks okay on the x-ray, so it must be okay, right? But it turns out that these things are teeming with microbes, and it's not the microbes that are the problem. A few can maybe get into your bloodstream, and if you're healthy, your body just kills them and handles it. So it's not really the bacteria escaping from the tooth that are the problem. It's the fact that the bacteria and microbes in the tooth are living off of diffused nutrients and giving off their waste, which is a type of endotoxin, which is actually highly toxic, and that is not stopped by the tooth structure. It doesn't stay inside the tooth. That does diffuse out into your body. The question is it causing a problem? And some people say yes, and some people say no. And that's the controversy. So there are people who would rather not get a root canal, or who might prefer to try to avoid a root canal if at all possible, and only get one if the tooth is absolutely already completely and without question non-vital or dead, the pulp tissue inside the nerve, where the nerve lives inside the tooth and the canal of the tooth. If it's necrotic, if it's dead, if it's irreversible, or if there's, you know, extreme pain and swelling, and yes, now you're at the point where you must make a decision about either getting a root canal or having the tooth removed from your mouth, having it extracted. But unless you're in that kind of distress, if a tooth is kind of teetering and it's not dead and it seems to be holding its own, like it's a little sensitive, but it's not getting worse, maybe it's even improving a little bit over time, you know, a tooth like that can still go the other way. It can still die and end up needing a root canal. But sometimes they recover. Sometimes the nerve inside is very, very irritated and looks like it might die, but then it recovers. Maybe it recovers for 5 years and then dies. I mean, nerves do things. But the point I'm making is just because a tooth is sensitive does not necessarily mean that it needs to get a root canal. So if, let's say you're about to get a crown or an onlay or an expensive ceramic or gold restoration put on a tooth, and the tooth is a little sensitive, here are your options that are usually given to you by the dentist. We can just do the root canal now and then cement your permanent restoration, and then it won't hurt and it'll be all set and all done. Or we can put on the restoration and then wait and see And if it ends up dying, then we are going to have to make a hole in your new restoration to go in to do the root canal. And then we'll repair the hole in your new restoration afterwards. And then a third option might be, let's just leave you in your temporary and monitor the tooth for a while. And if it's getting better, then go ahead and cement your permanent restoration. But if it still just kind of stays irritated, if it doesn't seem to be getting any better and it's not getting any worse, but it just still hurts when you drink something cold and lingers a little bit and you have to change what you're eating and how you're eating, but your tooth is still alive, but it's kind of on the fence, then, you might want to either get a root canal or have the tooth extracted, because at that point, it's probably impacting your quality of life. So a decision does need to be made. And if you go ahead with a permanent restoration, sometimes the tooth will finish settling down, but sometimes it'll go ahead and just die on you. And then you are getting a root canal through the new restoration or having a tooth extracted that you just paid for a restoration on. So, yeah, it can be a little tricky. There's a bit of a decision-making process. But for dentists who don't see any problem with root canals, if your tooth is a little sensitive and seems to be kind of a nuisance sensitivity, like, cold sensitive or different ways that teeth can sort of express this, aches occasionally, that kind of thing, for a short period or longer, a lot of dentists are perfectly okay with root canals and will just recommend that you just go ahead and get the root canal. That way your tooth won't hurt anymore, and then go ahead with the restoration. But there are a lot of people that understand that there's this controversy, and they don't want to just get a root canal on a tooth just because it's a little sensitive. Maybe wearing a night guard so that you're not clenching on it. Maybe that will help it to go the right way and heal and recuperate rather than dying the rest of the way. Because occlusal trauma, where you're continually battering the tooth, that can make it go the wrong way. That can make your nerve become more and more and more irritated and sensitive to the point where it just gives up and it dies inside your tooth. And then you don't have a choice other than either a root canal or extraction. So there are a lot of things that can be done to help teeth recuperate so that they won't need a root canal. But there are a lot of dental offices that just root canals are very routine, and they're just going to, recommend one for any tooth that they think might eventually need one. So, yeah, just be aware of that. And then the other one is whether wisdom teeth need to be extracted. And that one is tricky. There are a lot of dentists that just think all wisdom teeth should be taken out. And I had somebody come in that had lower wisdom teeth that had drifted forward because there had been other tooth loss, and they were fully erupted and they were being chewed with and they were easily cleanable. They were kind of almost in the position of the second molar. They were fine. One of them had a couple little pockets around the gums that was treatable. But the previous dentist had recommended that these be extracted because they're wisdom teeth and there were no wisdom teeth on the top to chew against. But, these teeth had drifted forward and actually were in function. They were chewing and they were cleanable. And I recommended keeping them. So whether or not teeth need to be extracted, sometimes that's, sometimes waiting until, like for a teenager, waiting until they're clearly impacted before taking them out. But you want to do it before the roots are fully formed, because once the roots are fully formed, then, there's more danger of injuring the nerve that is down near the root tips. So there's kind of a window where you make that decision before the roots are fully formed. But if it looks like there's still room for those teeth, like when you look in the mouth, there's space in there. And when you look at the x-ray, the tooth is facing the right way. Then I don't think every teenager needs their wisdom teeth removed, but, sometimes these things are tilted, and if you don't get them out at the point where it's clear they need to be removed, then the tooth will become even more horizontal and the roots will finish forming. And then it's a little bit more complex with more possible complications to the extraction surgery. So yeah, there's a window of opportunity there, but you know, don't be too quick to have them out. Get a few opinions, get second and third opinions, and be sure to get an opinion from an alternative-minded dentist so that you don't just get another version of the same opinion, but you really get an opinion based on the principles of natural medicine and conservative dental treatment. All right, you have been listening to Dental MD. I'm Dr. Jessica Sapoff. If you have questions about any of the topics that I cover on this show, give us a call, 425-427-8899, and you can reach us by email, appointments@naturaldentist.com. And also be sure to go to 1150kknw.com and check my archives, because I have covered a lot of different dental topics, so you can avail yourself of that and learn a lot. All right, thank you for listening. I'll be back next week.